There's a story about the 19th century German composer Robert Schumann playing a very difficult piano etude. When he finished playing, one of the listeners asked him to explain the piece. Schumann replied by sitting down at the piano and playing the same etude a second time. Well, our gospel today seems to be like Schumann's reply, a repeat performance for the disciples who appear not to have heard much of what Jesus told them about this first prediction of the Passion. As we have heard the past couple of weekends, Jesus and the disciples are on the move, traveling the whole region of Galilee. There is an urgency to Jesus' work because Jesus is trying to prepare the disciples for his imminent suffering, death, and resurrection. But it wasn't the first time that the disciples had turned a deaf ear to Jesus on this subject. They didn't get it then, and they aren't getting it now. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus said, particularly about the part of rising again. They're afraid to ask Jesus what it all meant. So rather than ask Jesus any questions, the disciples retreat further in fear and start bickering among themselves about their grand futures. They argue about who's the greatest, who's the best, who's the wisest, who's the most powerful and most influential among them. Little did they realize then that they would indeed suffer ridicule and in the end, martyrdom. I wonder if they would have argued about who's the best or the greatest or the most powerful if they could have seen the reality of the future. Brothers and sisters, I don't think we should be too hard on these first followers of Jesus, for even we, who have the benefit of over 2,000 years of Christian tradition, don't always go to Jesus when our lives spin out of control. Our passions, as the letter of James reminds us today, sometimes get the better of us. Jealousy and personal ambition become the reference points for our thoughts, our speech, our actions in the world. And in the gospel, Jesus outlines for us the great paradox of what discipleship, what following him is all about. Do you wish to be the first? Then become last. Do you seek to attain greatness? Then become small. Do you want to be masters? Then become the servants of those you wish to lord it over. To those people who desire to be first and who want to advance their personal agendas as best or as greatest, Jesus turns their world upside down. Jesus says that our greatness will come from being last, from being the servant of all, and from doing good to those most in need. To emphasize the point and settle the dispute among the disciples, Jesus picks up a little child and places the child in the midst of them as a symbol of simplicity and powerlessness, and proceeded to teach them yet again about the meanings of his words and actions. For people in Jesus' time, a child was a non-person, someone without power, without prestige, social status, or public importance. Jesus used the child to exemplify the importance of doing what is just, not for rewards or renown, but because it is right, To be great in the reign of God, Jesus says, one must become the servant of the child, the poor, the needy, the lost. In other words, embrace the helpless and the needy. Seek out the smallest. And in a nice way, Jesus was saying, get over yourselves. My friends, I do think a lot of times we're like the disciples. Though Jesus may be speaking loudly and clearly to us, we still may feel that we are in darkness, that we are confused, afraid, and yes, even proud. However, God desires to take us lovingly into his arms, as he did this little child. And like the child, we have to cry out to God, who will run to pick us up when we fall and hold us in his arms as a good and loving parent. The passion to be great, to achieve, to be number one, is profoundly human. A lot of times we get a great sense of importance by being over others. And we can become quite passionate when we feel that someone is in any way diminishing us or dissing us. But brothers and sisters, this isn't the way of Jesus. Greatness lies not in being number one or receiving the praise and admiration of the crowd. Greatness is found in that willingness to be the last and the servant of all. In our first reading today, the author of the Book of Wisdom urges us to choose the right path. And Jesus gives us a glimpse of the character of that path, namely embracing the vulnerable in our midst, the defenseless children, the despairing poor, the terrified, the mentally ill, the marginalized, the prisoners, the disabled, the immigrant, the refugees of war. My friends, perhaps we can ask God today to help us to be willing to change our definition of greatness, as the world often defines it, to what Jesus calls the disciples and us to today, a life of loving service to our sisters and brothers. St. Augustine spoke of a true leader as one who walks alongside his people, not lording it over them. One of his most famous statements comes from a homily he preached on the anniversary of his ordination as bishop, when he said, "For you, I am a bishop. With you, I am a Christian." My friends, we gather at this Eucharistic table every week to remember the value that Christ placed on our lives. Christ valued us more highly than he valued his own comfort, more highly than he valued his own life. We become great in God's eyes by not only welcoming a child, but also humbling ourselves to become the children that God has called us to be. Are you? Are we ready to humble ourselves and to serve as Jesus did? Amen.